I actually understand the logic here, which is you're Nolan Jones. You haven't earned the right to not be pinch hit in that situation with how you played this year. Same with just about anybody in that lineup, not named Kwan or Ramirez. The problem is you pinch hit them for what I would say is AAA players, not even 4A players, and certainly not big league players in Will Wilson and Jonathan Rodriguez.
Yeah, so the real problem is exactly that, but I'll take it a step further. It's the idea that when you pinch hit for Will Wilson himself, and we can go deeper than batting average if you want to, but we'll just keep it there. He's hitting a .172 on the season. Yeah. Like, so it doesn't matter if he's facing a lefty, a righty, a robot, or anyone in between, he's not going to have success. Like, so Nolan Jones, although yes, in most situations, I understand what he's saying. When you want a platoon to give them the best chance possible, that's if you were having a hitter that was of equal talent of Nolan Jones. And that's not even, like, Nolan Jones isn't even that great. I'm just saying you got to at least be able to sniff something competent before you can start to have that discussion in a lefty-righty split matchup percentage. Like Jonathan Rodriguez hitting a .143, he's not good against anybody.
Yeah,
doesn't matter, lefty-righty or anything in between.
Yeah, and I think this is the paralysis by overanalysis that I think the Guardians sometimes when they're in there, like even Vogt yesterday said it. See, I told you guys, this is what we were talking about. It's like, dude, it's been two games, and you almost gave that game away. There's no I get to talk smack when you're still six or seven games below 500, and 3 weeks ago, you were three or four games above 500.
Right, and if that pop-up by Angel happened anywhere else, it wouldn't have been a home run.
And I just think it's time to, like, okay, guys, the honeymoon's over with Stephen Vogt. I respect Stephen for what he's done. I appreciate it. I'm not going to discredit what he did last year. But that's the easy way. When everything's firing early and you've got 90 games of pure bliss to start your career, that's the easy way to start your career as a manager. This, you start out roughly around 500 or just above it, and then you hit the skids and you got to pull the nose up on the thing. This is the toughest. This is the antithetical option to that. And last night, and it's not just last night, because Stephen has gotten, in some manner of speaking, a pass for the last 10 games, or the 10-game losing streak. He shouldn't. Because ideas like this were things that were sinking them even further during that 10-game stretch. I'm not selling Stephen Vogt stock, but that was, last night was crap. And here's the thing. There's one school of logic, which is, you're Nolan Jones. Yeah, had two hits, but you can be pinch hit for. And then there's the more important logic, which you espoused, which is under no circumstance should you ever pinch hit Nolan Jones for Will Wilson or Jonathan Rodriguez on your damn life.
Yeah, like the splits are never going to make sense in your favor in that way. And I tend to think a lot of this stuff more comes from the front office than it does Vogt. Because we've seen them play with the platooning for years. And I would imagine part of the reason why they liked Vogt as a hire to begin with is because he was going to get on board with that. Like the idea that they like to platoon. And Antonetti and Chernoff, they have lineups they like to set. And then they'll tell you ahead of the game, this is what we like to do and this is how we want to see it played out.
I can't give him the Peterlin pass. I can't. At some point, you got to be your own man. I agree with you, by the way, on the overarching point that I think Vogt is more flexible than Tito, and I think that's something they were looking for, because I think at some point there became tension, and not bad, not like we don't like each other, tension between the front office and Tito.
Look and see how baseball is going these days, though. And now more than ever, and really in the last couple of years, it's really been magnified. The front offices have such a say in the day-to-day and the inning-to-inning that it just never really existed 10, 20, 15 years ago.
You were spot on. You were spot on. But in that moment, like Stephen Vogt, every manager in baseball does have the ability to say, okay, I know what we normally do here. This isn't a normal situation, and pivot out. And if he doesn't, then Steven is too much of a shill for the front office.
Well, and that's where a feel has to come in some parts of this game, right? And that's where even like Nolan Jones, there's no justifying Will Wilson in that spot. But when Nolan Jones has two hits already in the game, I don't know about you, Nick. I do believe in the idea that sometimes just players have good days and bad days, and they're seeing the ball really well. I thought it was funny that... That Rocchio two nights ago after he had the game-winning hit was like, those first two pitches, I did not see well at all. It's like, yeah. I wouldn't tell people that, by the way.
No, I would. I love it. We need more honesty like that in baseball.
If I'm Rocchio, I'd be like, no, I saw every pitch great, and then I hit the one that was the best for me. He's like, I didn't see those pitches good at all. Okay, then. That was like a guessing game at the plate. It's like a carnival game for Rocchio all of a sudden. But like, I do think in baseball, I think there's definitely better days than worse, and I think there's better days for when you see the ball and when you don't see the ball. And like Nolan Jones in that spot, if it's a righty, if it's a lefty, I got faith that Nolan Jones is going to be able to come through.
And listen, I don't want to put too much on this because this is like the ancillary point I'd like to make. The team clearly was responding to Nolan. I can't remember if it was his first hit or second hit when he was at second base and he did the little shimmy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That was a weird celebration, but I liked them doing it.
It was, but you could tell the clubhouse was eating it up.
He did like a sexual gesture at the end there.
I got to say.
Did you see that?
You boys got it. Well done, Nolan Jones.
He did
Jones.
Have some aura.
He did. But even that, like that kind of goes along with your points. Not only is he seeing it better, he's the whole point of where this offense has been is they do not have an environment conducive to guys succeeding. Meaning there's so much youth and all the guys are struggling with the same thing that you just, I mean, Hosey and Kwan can only carry you so much.
Yeah.
Vibes were all the way down. Aura points were all the way down. And so when you then go, hey, you've come up big for us today. This is the best game you've had in weeks, even though he had a hit the night before. Thank you. We're going to sit your ass for Will Wilson. I mean, Schneeman
had the two RBIs, and then he gets sat for Jonathan Rodriguez, who continues to not hustle.
This is supposed to be Steven Vogt's forte. You're a former player. You know how those little things do matter when you're not winning. And by the way, that's exactly why last night was a huge win, whether they lose today or not. Because the way you won, you made a lot of mistakes, and you got bailed out by Angel Martinez. That win can matter something. The last two wins can mean something to you because you're getting yourself out of your funk, even though it takes more than two games to do that. But Steven Vogt, multiple times in the last 3 weeks, has cost them in situations like that. And unfortunately, last night was the first time it didn't cost him a damn game, or was the final straw for that. But you have to know when to get out of your own way or get out of the front office's way. And again, no one's calling for him to be fired. But Steven Vogt has to learn in that moment, don't hurt.
I just feel like they just too many times. If I was playing for them, I'd be walking on eggshells.
Yes, I think they are. I think you see it.
Well, think about it. Like, I want to take another example further, right? Like, just the whole situation that's weird that's going on with Austin Hedges and Class A and Bo Naylor. So Bo Naylor makes the mistake in the Sunday game and the pass ball and everything that happened there. I got it, right? It cost you a game. But now all of a sudden, Austin Hedges is just in on any time Class A pitches late in these games now. Yeah. Like that was it? Now, so Bo Naylor just cannot catch for Class A? Class A doesn't trust him anymore? Or is that Steven Vogt saying, I don't trust him anymore? Like, it's just it's weird. It's odd I get it. It was not great by Bo Naylor. No one's trying to make an excuse for Bo, but Bo's still a really good defensive catcher. And then to say you made one mistake in a game that cost us our 10th loss in a row, so now we just don't trust you anymore?
All right, I'll go full into the conspiracy theory. I think it's 100% Emmanuel Clase.
It might be. But
I don't think it's Vogt. Vogt is a former catcher, and Vogt is defended.
But see what that does, though. Like for Bo Naylor in that moment to be like, so I make one mistake, and Class A just doesn't trust me at all.
I don't
even know that I would bend to that one if I was them. I'd be like, no. Like if we make the calls in that decision, this isn't Greg Maddux in the '90s.
Class A's right on this.
I don't know. Yeah, no, I don't know. Because it's not like Bo's a bad catcher. Bo, in every advanced catching metric that you have from a defensive standpoint, is really solid.
Yeah, he is. But the problem is when the mistakes happen. Nobody gives a rip if that happens in the third inning. They've been happening late in games, and they've been careless mistakes. They haven't been like, oh, that's a tough pitch. Is Steven Vogt defending the one, I think it was a sinker in the dirt that went between his legs during the Tigers game? Oh, it's the toughest pitch to block. No, it's not. And you know that's a lie as a catcher. You damn well know that's not the toughest pitch. So I think it's 100% Class A, and I think Class A is 100% right.
It's got to be absolutely demoralizing to be a catcher in that spot. One mistake, and then Class A gets to switch you out for Hedges.
Yeah, remember,
I don't know that
Learn your damn lesson.
Again, this isn't Greg Maddux in the 90s, where all these guys get to have their own personal catchers, and they get to have their own everything.
He's the most elite closer in baseball. If anyone has that ability to make
probably,
that call.
And he's probably going
to
be traded in 2 weeks. I don't know.
And as long as he's here, if the best pitcher on your staff, and he's better than any of the starters are at what he does, if the best pitcher says, I don't trust this guy to block a simple ass ball in the dirt. I'm not trying to hammer Bo, but he's too much of a veteran now. He's not the rookie anymore. He's the third or fourth most experienced player in the lineup.
But Vogt on Monday had the quote out, and it was everywhere. The idea that this was not a transitional thing. This was not going to be something they consistently do. And then they went again to it last night. So again, that's where it gets a little confusing. It's like, did they make the switch? Did they not make the switch? Is this something Class A wants, or is this something they're just trying out for a couple games? And then if Class A gets comfortable with it, it becomes the status quo.
Oh, I think this is. Well, listen, Emmanuel can always go back on it. Right? I mean, you can regain your trust in Bo Naylor if you're Emmanuel. But yeah, absolutely. It should be the status quo. You cannot lose games because your catcher can't block a damn ball in the dirt. Like, if you're going to hit 170, then you better be able to block that ball. Because here's the thing, it's happened too many times. And I feel for Emmanuel, who, by the way, is not the same guy he was last year. So he's trying to get himself back to his 2024 form, or I think it was 2022 when he was also this dominant. And you cannot have the game impacted like that, because you can go from Manuel Clase to Joe Borowski in three pitches if your catcher isn't doing the one thing he's supposed to do. So listen.
I don't know.
Steven Vogt doesn't get a pass for that crap last night, and Bo Naylor doesn't either. Bo should not be hitting 175.
No, Bo's got to be better. There's no question. But defensively, he really is not the issue that I think you think he is. He had the one big mistake, and now they hit the eject button.
It's been multiple times, though, over the last 3 weeks late in the game. When it happens,
I'm not thinking of another example. Do you have another example on the top of your head?
There was literally an identical passed ball within the last 3 weeks. I can't remember which game it was, because I was on Michigan Standard Time, but there's been two passed balls late in games that have been gimmies. I don't want to say gimmies because that's not fair. Catching is very hard.
Even the Tigers game, I wouldn't call that one a gimme, but that is what it is.
It's not the toughest play you're going to make as a catcher. It's a play that you should routinely make.
But to sacrifice it for Austin Hedges, of all people, who's not going to get a hit if he does end up coming up. And on top of it, I think the message it sends to Bo Naylor is the sense of, we are giving up on you in many ways.
I think
it's a bad message.
I think the message is, you're a damn professional. You're one of the leaders of this team. And by the way, there was a third play, the throw home, where Bo was looking to Idaho.
Well, that's the one I isolated out on that one. Now, that one, if you want to pull him in that game, in that moment, I would totally do that. But that was while the play was going on. That had nothing to do with him, with Class A and being able to catch a ball or not.
That's three heads-up strikes in 3 weeks.
He's got one pass ball on the year so far.
Yeah, that just because they didn't mark it a pass ball. It might have been marked a wild pitch. I really cannot remember which game it was.
He's got a .991 fielding percentage as a catcher.
No, he's good overall.
Got one pass ball in the season.
But when you make your mistakes matter. And if Bo can't handle that.
I just thought it was too reactionary off of one play.
Oh, I'm telling you right now. And this is the deference I will give to the Guardians, even as I excoriate Steven Vogt right now. The thing that I'll give them is they are painfully precious and patient with their players. So for this to be happening, it's more than just a one-time thing. And again, there's just too many moments where the catcher, who if you have a lot of young guys in the field, that guy has to be the guy talking to everybody. That guy's the leader on the field. And when you make simple, stupid mistakes, Bo's made one too many. And he has not accomplished enough to not get written out of games at the end of games. And by the way, you and I are simpatico. I don't ever want to see Austin Hedges with a game on the line and the bat in his hand. To me, it is the opposite of Viagra. All right? It is the worst. It's Michael Martinez 2.0.
If this is the beginning of Bo, then it's the beginning of Bo, but that's kind of what it's signaling.
But the point is, no, I don't think
so.
You can't come back from this. But Bo, you're a professional. You got to make those plays because your team needs you to, and when they happen matters. And when you're down in a game and you have a no heads up play, Bo, these things matter. And I think the Guardians have been patient with Bo on a lot of fronts. So I'm not trying to kill him, because I still believe Bo can be really good. But like, meaning on the offensive side of the ball too.
But you're punishing him in the name of Austin Hedges. You're making your team worse in the moment in a lesson.
Well,
I mean, Austin Hedges is a fine catcher. From a defensive standpoint, I'm not going to drag him from that perspective. But like, it's not as if Bo Naylor is awful defensively. By many metrics that I looked at, he's very good defensively.
216-474-0092. Is there any point where? You know what? We'll ask this. Is the honeymoon over with Stephen Vogt? Because that's what I felt last night watching it. It was a, you're too smart. You know baseball too much. You know how being a baseball player works too much to get in your own damn way. And the thing that is owed to LeBron James in 5 minutes on 92.3, The Fan.